Well, I think that the issue that carries on being interesting to me, and one that I don't know if we've really figured a way around yet, is that we focus a lot, and for very understandable reasons, on ISIS and Al-Qaeda, on the violent manifestations of the Islamist ideology that directly threaten the US, directly threaten the homeland, and directly threatens Europe. But ISIS and Al-Qaeda are a pretty small offshoot of a overall Islamist movement and Islamist ideology that has formed for it's we're now looking at almost a century of this growth of this ideology slowly coming through certain Egyptian thinkers and certain Pakistani thinkers, and we still haven't really figured out, I think, the best way to address the ideological roots of the movement and how some of these thinkers who weren't necessarily violent jihadists themselves, how some of their works and some of their philosophies carry on influencing groups like Al-Qaeda and groups like ISIS today. There is very fundamental things that animate groups like the Muslim Brotherhood, for example, that taps into the same well ideologically that Al-Qaeda and ISIS do, and yet we have no real clue as to how to approach groups like the Muslim Brotherhood, who take a more who are obviously not overtly as violent as Al-Qaeda and ISIS, but aspire for very similar things and have the same end goal of a caliphate in mind. It always strikes me as being there is a great distance between us, between the way we treat these two movements, the political Islamist and the violent Islamist. One we put a lot of attention to, and the other we don't really put much attention on at all, even though they have very similar goals in mind. So I'm always very interested in how we come up with a coherent response to groups who don't threaten the lives of Americans today in terms of terrorist attacks, but whose ideas feed those groups that do. I don't think we have a good answer on that yet.
I was about to ask you what you had learned in terms of an answer, and you said just now that you don't have a good answer, but do you have any parts of that answer?
Well, my view tends to be that the best way we can... We sometimes assume that we in the West are the central actor in this movement, and that we have the answers to this. There's something that the West can do that will defeat Islamism entirely as an ideology. I tend to think that we're actually only a bit part player in this, and that this ideological movement that is threatening us today has its own propulsion, and we're not completely relevant to it all the time. But what we can do is make a difference, and I think an important difference, in the margins. And that's where I think we need to work with individuals, civil society groups, political parties. The US government, the UK government, and like-minded allies, to foster support and foster partnerships with those individuals working on the ground looking to challenge groups like the Muslim Brotherhood or groups like the Jamaat-e-Islami, and forge a genuine, long-lasting and connecting partnership with some of those groups that basically think like us and respect the same values we do, and have got a dog in the fight in trying to push back against these most extreme forms of political Islam. And I think our approach to this has been kind of piecemeal, and it's waxed and waned with our enthusiasm for democracy promotion. But I still think there's much more we could do in trying to foster some of those partnerships of the genuine reformers in the region and those who are genuine allies, ideological allies. I still think there has been insufficient amount of work being done in identifying those partners across the Middle East and Africa especially.
Robin Simcox, the Margaret Thatcher Fellow with the Heritage Foundation. J.J. Green, WTOP News.